Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Traction.gg podcast, where we talk about racing games, sim racing, and racing esports. I'm your host, Tom, and joining us this week is the founder and CEO of Track Racer, Matt Sten, the global, of Australian origin, sim racing and flight simulator accessory manufacturer. It has partnerships with the likes of the Alpine Formula One team and Airbus, and perhaps is best known for creating cockpits and wheel stands for those who want to take their virtual racing that bit further. We've actually reviewed its TR8 Pro Cockpit and FS3 wheel stand on the Traction.gg website and YouTube channel before, and you can check out the links to those in the description. From this conversation, I wanted to gain an insight into the racing video game peripheral market, and also how Track Racer has grown. But not just that. Yes, we'd like to know about the genesis and the current market challenges, but also what it plans to do next. And this is well worth a listen, as Matt gives us the lowdown onto its next big move, electronics. Yep, Track Racer will have software, a load cell pedal set, shifters and handbrakes, and maybe even more in the future. So it's going all in on sim racing, challenging the established players. So without further ado, here's Matt with the exciting plans. So Matt, thank you very much for your time. A pleasure to speak to you today. Where are you speaking to us from?
Well, thanks firstly for having me on the show, Thomas, in Traction. I got back to Melbourne, Australia a few weeks ago. So we're beefing up the employee base over here with new staff for operations and website and a few other functions. So I've basically come back here to hire. We also acquired last week quite a large office building within Melbourne. So I'll be pushing that along. We'll be moving in there middle of November, setting up pretty fancy showroom, putting a focus. We've got a workshop area for turnkey systems where we'll also be able to show the new range and the current range.
Interesting. Oh, that sounds like all sorts is going on.
Yeah, so the space is four times bigger than what we're in now. So we've grown in the last year. We've grown our team by 250%. And we're tracking at around 100% growth year on year.
Oh, well, that's some impressive figures then. So that's definitely worth sitting up and paying attention to. And I can imagine makes your life a bit busier, a bit more stressful perhaps.
Yeah, I love it. So we can go into that later on, but it's exciting to be producing the products that, you know, where we offer and we're working on.
Yeah, we'll definitely touch on what's coming next in a bit. Before then, I just want to ask about the origin story, so to speak. Obviously, HQ, and you're based in Australia. I know you have a background in like car electronics. You had your own company there, and in automotive marketing as well. How do you think, looking from the outside at Australia, there is a strong motorsport heritage there? I know in Melbourne, you've got Calder Park and Winton and Albert Park. They're the Formula One Grand Prix. They're all sort of nearby. Do you think that helps spur on the sim racing industry in Australia?
Look, I think in Australia, the disposable income will probably play a bigger part.
Ah, okay.
than that, like we are not at the same caliber as you guys in the UK in regards to following motorsport. We do have Bathurst next weekend, which is probably the second biggest race of the year after F1. So that'll be an exciting one to watch. We'll be partnering up with tools.com with promotions. They've got their logo on a car, etc. So that is a big one. Other than that, I think it would definitely be the disposable income. Look, we are very spaced out in Australia, so it right. would be something related to, you know, it's just a hobby that mates like to connect in that way. Yeah, well, it's an important market for us, Australia. You know, not only because we started off here, but in regards to our market share and unit sales, it's very important.
I see. And it says, you know, on your website, I'll reveal my source for research. It's your website in this instance. You know, Track Racer's founded in 2008, but the first product, which I believe was the RS8, is that correct?
Yes.
Was that available in 2008, or was there like a time, you know, where you started work in 2008, but then it took a while to develop it and then release it to the world?
Yeah, so the company was formed in 2008, started setting up the RS8 in 2008. So I'm fortunate enough to have a father with an engineering company. So when I saw simulators online, I wasn't into sim racing. I thought that's a great idea. The product out there was pretty average. The price was high. So I thought, I can do better. So Dad and I started working on it in 2008. We released it. The initial order was about 50 units to Australia from China, possibly took a year. And in the first probably 10 years, we were running at a loss, but it was kind of like a passion project for me.
Yeah.
Because it was actually like me designing these products, which people were able to, you know, rave on about online. And it was something that played on my creative side. As opposed to the other business that I had, which was basically just OEM or rebranded car electronics. Yeah, 2-inch steel tube design. It was, you know, like when it was designed, there was pretty much just Logitech out there. So it was more or less designed for Logitech. Then as like new pedals and wheels started coming out, we had, you know, more demand in regards to clearance around the pedal area. So, you know, that forced us to update that. We added on the RS6 model, which is currently our entry level model, and then phased out the RS6 and introduced the TR8. We're now onto the TR8 Pro.
Yes, which we've reviewed and we really, really enjoyed.
Yeah, well, the challenging part for us is that, you know, there's always new peripherals coming out. So we just saw the launch of the Logitech Pro wheel and pedals, which is amazing, but our wheel plate doesn't fit, so now we need to make an adapter plate. We're already on that, but it's just challenging trying to keep up at the moment.
Yeah, well, maybe we could touch upon that in a way, because yeah, like you say, the market's evolving rapidly, and now there's actually all of a sudden way more direct drive and load cell providers in terms of wheelbase and pedals than there ever possibly ever have been.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to somehow keep up with that pace and adapt your cockpits and rigs to fit that demand. And one example I found, which I thought was really enlightening about how the market has changed, is in 2015, you used the term in your communications, refined gaming, and it was cockpits for PC, PS3 and Xbox 360. And there's like a screenshot of your old website where there's someone using a steering wheel and they're playing The Crew. And you just sort of think, wow, now there's a term, the parlance is sim racing, right? And we have all these extremely high torque wheelbases and these firm load cell pedals, which have to be securely placed. So in that time, you know, where would you, how has Track Racer managed to keep up with a market that's changing rapidly?
Well, for starters, you know, like years and years ago, I just got sick of people complaining about, you know, that word that you hear all the time, flex. So that is what I'm constantly pushing. There's no flex. We have our, I think you guys reviewed our wheel stand.
Yep, that's correct.
Which it's a good entry level wheel stand. It's my objective with that one was less so flex, but more so like, let's just get it to the customer for as low as possible. So a lot of effort was put into tooling those corner brackets out of ABS. It's a product that I'm actually proud of. It doesn't get the kind of recognition that it deserves, but it's much better than a desk.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, like irrespective of that, our products are rock solid, and that's what I'm constantly driving. Rock solid. We're now focusing on like more adjustment. My focus is on the prefab frames, and let's just call them tube frames. So that's where I see the future for Track Racer. So our objective with those is just to make them extremely adjustable, easily adjustable, that you would find in, say, an extruded aluminium cockpit.
Oh, I see. So, yeah, you've got the steel tube designs, you've got the aluminium cockpits. Now you're moving on to this extra adjustability. And also, then, obviously, like you say there, when Logitech releases a new product and other manufacturers show, well, you have to make sure your plates all fit. So there's quite a lot of work there. I suppose we should probably jump straight to, I was going to ask a few other questions, but let's go on adjustability's sake. The Alpine Formula One team with the TRX, you have a partnership there, and the upcoming cockpit. Now, it has a bit where you can adjust it from a Formula style to a GT style. So before we jump in to talk about the partnership and how it was developed, explain to me how that particular element was designed. It seems quite unique.
Well, it is unique. We've got three or four patents on that design. There are we certainly didn't invent that F1 GT in one sort of simulator, but we have created this quick adjustment between the two. So there are models that are out there, but usually the people will not adjust it because it's like bring out tools, spend 30 minutes on it, and it's just too much effort.
Yeah, because you've got an excellent video where you can just see that in use. You know, you just pull this one element out and it raises up and down. And the fact that there are no spanners or anything like this seems to be a really unique part of the design. And obviously, the other unique element is the partnership with Alpine, the actual Formula One team. How did that come about?
So they actually approached us in Monaco. We had a couple of cockpits with the royal family, with the virtual Le Mans. They approached us after that and said they're looking for a cockpit supplier, and it all kind of blossomed from there.
Oh, I see. And then I see you've been working with the team and some of the junior drivers. You know, how has that feedback been useful in development of the product?
Well, definitely with the TRX. So we spent a lot of time developing the TRX to a point where we had a prototype. We then got that over to Alpine with the CAD. They had their own F1 engineers. So the seat engineer, they had chassis engineers on it, tweaking the way, like trying to get it as realistic as possible. So we're very grateful that they were able to allocate those resources to us. And it's going to show in this product, which unfortunately we had tried to hit in June. Alpine were not happy with the product. As you can imagine, the F1 team has pretty stringent standards. So we've basically been tweaking the seats, because we're not traditionally, where as my father, he's a fabricator. We are traditionally fabricators. So give us a frame and we can do it with our eyes closed. But we've actually had to learn the process of making seats. So we invested into a seat factory in Asia, and we've actually like created new processes to be able to pump out these seats with precise accuracy of where the threads sit, the way it feels. That's been the sticking point for us.
So I think it's currently slated for a Q4 release this year. Is there, is that still on target? Is there any particular month that you're aiming for?
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the constant stream of dire climate news? Turn that concern into action. Tune in to the Climate Confident podcast every Wednesday morning when I bring you good news and real solutions from the front lines of climate action. Whether you're in business, tech, or just passionate about sustainability, the Climate Confident podcast is your weekly dose of optimism and inspiration. Subscribe to Climate Confident on your favorite podcast platform and start your Wednesday with hope and actionable insights.
Well, it's going to be in December, that's for sure. All the tooling's finished. We've got prototypes all around the world. One of our guys is actually heading over to our factory next week. So he'll be there to check the production, make sure it's up to our standards, and then we'll start shipping out the several hundred that we've already pre-sold.
Yeah, because pre-orders have been live, right? So that must be quite pleasing that you've got a good stack of orders there, and looking forward to seeing those customers receive them in December. You mentioned also as well that the seating is something that you really had to learn, and the Alpine Formula One team has given you feedback, I suppose that is invaluable in the learning process. They're exacting standards. So that is also helping you develop as a company. And at the same time, you must get customer and journalistic feedback as well. So is that, I realize actually you are very closely monitoring what people are saying about your products. And then are you feeding that directly back into what's coming next?
Yeah, so we, unlike other companies that usually will kind of set and forget, I'm constantly tweaking the production. So if someone will say, all right, well, or we get a few people saying, oh, I want the monitor staying closer. All right, and I'll speak to our engineers. How do we get it closer? And so we'll constantly do these like little tweaks to improve the product. So we've always had the luxury of doing that with the Alpine. It's important that we nail it from the first shipment. Not to say that we don't nail it, but we always just seek to have a better product.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Going back just really briefly to the earlier days, let's say, one element I've noticed is you have some ambassadors that also help spread the word. And just skipping back to the Netherlands slightly, you've got Niels Langeveld, who just won the TCR Italy Championship with a track racer written down the side of the car.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really cool. So do you work with him on feedback of the products, and what's it like working with him?
Oh, he's a legend. He's very supportive. He's grateful that we're working with him, but we're actually more grateful that he's working with us. He's constantly providing us feedback on new products, as his preferred brand, he lets everyone know about it.
It must be cool as well to see Track Racer as a champion just a couple of weeks ago. Was it? TCR Italy. That's cool.
Yeah, very impressed. He's a character as well.
Yeah.
Now we just need to see Alpine get up there. So it's still up in the air a bit. I'm not sure who the second driver is going to be next year. But
yeah, well, it would have been cool to have Piastri in there. But anyway, perhaps we don't dwell on that too much. That team's got a lot of potential still. So maybe next year you might get a win.
Or the other Aussie.
Oh, Ricardo.
He's looking for a seat.
Yeah. Maybe you can have some influence there. Quite requesting. that's a cool partnership. You got Langeveld winning touring car racing championships in Europe. You've got Alpine helping you with refining their your upcoming TRX. But also, I know we're a sim racing outlet or racing game outlet, but we should touch upon your other partnership with Airbus, because you're also working the flight sim scene. Any parallels between the two environments?
Well, there's definitely like a lot of our sim racing customers out there that also want a flight sim. Flight sim is actually more searched on Google than sim racing. Unfortunately, a lot of the people doing flight sim aren't, they don't see a need in having a cockpit. So, you know, they're happy with their desk, or, you know, it could be the keyboard or mouse, or some of them upgrade to peripherals, and there's a lot of peripherals coming out. So Turtle Beach have just released a pretty cool yoke. You got Honeycomb releasing a lot of new gear. So there is a lot of focus going into flight sim for obvious reasons. Top Gun definitely helped that along.
No doubt.
It exceeded my expectations. I was thinking it was going to be pretty corny, but actually I enjoyed it.
Yeah, the actual in plane scenes are edge of the seat stuff. I think that might be a nice segue into what's next outside of simulators or cockpits or rigs, whatever the preferred term may be, and into sim racing electronics. I believe this is an area that you're exploring.
We're a lot more advanced than just exploring. So we've finished our own proprietary software. This software has a lot of the game plugins already completed, and it will allow us to plug in different peripherals, so including steering wheels, pedals, handbrake, shifter, motion, direct drive, etc. So we see this as an important part for our future. And being the number one mid to high end simulator cockpit manufacturer in the world offers us a good segue into peripherals.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, I guess, because you have an existing customer base, but it's, the products are directly related. It's what attaches to the cockpits. So you mentioned that you finished the software. So Is that ready to ship soon, or are you waiting perhaps another complementary product to go with it?
Well, the software is just the let's call it the command center.
Right.
So it allows the tweaking of the pedals and you know, the strength responsiveness of the direct drive. So that part is complete. There's a lot of manufacturers out there that of shifters and handbrakes that simply use the default USB software on in Windows. We've gone a step further. So we started that quite a while ago, and now we're just finishing up prototypes, which we hope to show a few different prototypes at the Sim Expo at the start of December in Germany. It's a bit of a race against the clock, but you know, I'm pretty confident that we'll have at least our pedals, shifter and handbrake to show at the Sim Expo.
Yeah, so pedals, shifters and handbrakes, that is a big step and a big leap for the company. We will be there at Sim Racing Expo, so hope to see them and try them out. Looking forward to it. And so they'll...
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, that's really great for yet another company to push the market forward. Competition, you know, the consumer ultimately wins.
Yeah, and I think like our advantage, like one of our engineers is a race car engineer and driver. So the shifter is it's not just a simple you know, click on, click off. You know, we've developed a clutch mechanism to really give you that true feeling and sound as you would expect in a car. Little details like that will set us aside from the competition.
Yeah, and there is a lot of competition in the pedal space in particular. Is there anything there that you think you've got like a unique angle on?
We do. So upgradability of the pedals would be one. But you know, the reason, so when I started Track Racer, it was I was looking at these massive margins, and over the years these manufacturers they've been trimming their margins down and down and down, and back in the day they were probably making 80 points. So a long time ago I saw that, all right, well, you know, for people to actually get into sim racing, it needs to be affordable to the masses. You know, not that, you know, top 5%. So you know, in comes the RS8, which is, you know, it was a good product for its time, that got outdated. So my objective for the electronics, which may or may not include the most affordable motion platform ever to be seen, is to give give greater access to these you know, what people once thought was non-attainable.
Right, so that sort of sets your stall out for where you're positioning these pedals in the market, I would say. And I guess they would be load cell, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've always kind of worked on the idea of, you know, stack them high and sell them for a low price.
Okay.
So kind of the big box theory, as opposed to, all right, well, let's just make a huge margin, but sell, you know, a couple here and there.
I say, yeah. So that's a key philosophy to growing the whole industry.
Well, it's market share. So, yeah, while we're not making margins as probably all of the other manufacturers out there, where we're slowly creeping in on market share globally. We're also like probably we're one of the most accessible cockpits in the world with all of the different outlets, which includes our 7 plus a few distributors, which helps.
Right, and then now you bundle that in with some affordable electronic devices.
Yep.
They've all got that, you've got that supply chain already enforced, you've got that, the websites, the different regions, it's all set up, and then you'll be able to distribute through those. So that'll be interesting. So the prototypes are on display, hopefully, at Sim Racing Expo at the end of this year. So therefore, is it a logical conclusion to say that you're aiming for, you know, production and sale next year?
Yes, absolutely. So first half of next year, I'll be pushing the team for Q1, but I don't want to make any promises yet, because we've already got so much on our plate. The peripherals are involving, like, us starting a new factory, which, as I mentioned, like, we're fabricators. That's what we do. We've then gone and learnt fiberglass seats, and now we're going to move into electronics. So,
yeah, and the software to boot.
Well, the software is not the difficult part. But in saying that, it's you know, we're not reinventing the wheel. We're just making a better wheel at a more affordable price.
Nice. Well, colour me intrigued. I think that's a fascinating thing. You know, I can't wait to see and hear more when the time is right. Of course.
Yeah, and we'll be seeing that on Traction for sure.
Brilliant. Yeah, and we'll definitely do detailed coverage and reviews and everything. So, and like I say, we'll be trying them at the Sim Racing Expo with a bit of luck. So, I've already taken up nearly an hour of your time this morning.
That's my pleasure.
And I've no idea what time. What time is it in Australia right now, may I ask? It's nearly 9 a.m. here in the UK.
Here is it's almost 6 p.m.
Okay, yeah, this is the very short window where we can overlap our time zones. So it's been a pleasure to speak to you. But the key thing to take away from me from this conversation about Track Racer is keep your eyes peeled, because there's yet more exciting things on the way.
Absolutely. Really appreciate your time, and I look forward to having another chat and meeting you at Sim Expo.
Yeah, we'll see each other in person. Wonderful.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Well, there we go. Thanks again to Matt for his time. Hey, load cell pedals, shifters, accessories, software. So we'll hope to try those at the Sim Racing Expo in Germany in December with a bit of luck, and yeah, looking forward to it. So Track Racer entering the electronic sim racing game, another contender in the market. We wish them all the best, and competition is good, especially as Matt mentioned there, at the perhaps more affordable end of the market. As ever, if you enjoyed this episode, please do follow and rate on Spotify, subscribe and rate on Apple Podcasts. That's free and it just helps us out, helps our show be found by more people. And also you can do that on whichever podcast platform of your choice you are listening to. And also you can email the show at podcast@traction.gg with any questions for Track Racer that we can then ask when we're at the Sim Racing Expo. Okay, that's it for now. Thank you for listening. Keep it pinned.